Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody happy to be in church tonight beside me? What a good and wonderful God and salvation we have. And He's here tonight. Isn't He here? He said, where two or three of you gathered together in My name, He said, I'll be right there in the middle of you. Say it out loud. He's in the middle of us. He's in the middle of me. Glory to God. Amen. Thanks, guys. Y'all can be seated. Thanks for hanging out with me for just a moment. I want to sing a song, minister a song to you, but we have a track for it. So the scripture says that because of the great love wherewith God has loved us, that even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, anybody remember what happened? We were quickened together with Christ, and we were raised up together with Christ, and also we've been seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ. Everything He did it for us. He didn't need to pay a price for His sins. He didn't need to be judged. He didn't need the things that happened in redemptive work. We needed it. His victory is our victory. His death is our death. He tasted death for every man. His resurrection is our resurrection. And His being seated at the right hand is us being seated at the right hand. Now that's quite a thought. I said, that's quite a thought. Is it true? Let me go over it again real slow. Have we been quickened together with Him, with Jesus? Have we been raised up together with Him? Is it just as true we've been seated together with Him in heavenly places? Same passage of Scripture said so. As we sing about it, join with me. Let it be a confession of your faith. And just close your eyes and see yourself there. Go ahead, guys. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, we have. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. I've been given His power and given His name. Now in this life I rule and I reign, 'cause I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Sing it with me. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. I've been given His power. I rule and I reign, 'cause I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Seated for above the earth. places in Christ. Say it out loud. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. I've been given His power. I've been given His name. Now in this life, I rule and I reign, 'cause I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Seated far up above over heaven. In heavenly places in Christ. We've been given His power, given His name. Now in this life, I rule and I reign, 'cause I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Just close your eyes and see yourself there. Oh, it is true. The word is true. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up our hands and thank the Lord for what He has done for us, where He has brought us from and where He has brought us to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. 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 Thank you for everything You've done for us. And we pray and ask, Lord, enlighten the eyes of our heart and understanding, that we may more fully realize what You have done, what is true, what is our reality in You, what is our present and victory, and what is our future glory. Lord, we ask for every one of us, and agree is touching this thing, asking for eyes that see and ears that hear and a discerning heart and mind. Lord, we say like Moses of old, show us Your glory. We cry out to you. We reach out to you. By faith, we draw near to you. We say, Lord, manifest your spirit. Manifest your presence. Manifest your glory and goodness in us and to us and through us and in our midst. And we'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory and we'll thank you forever for letting us know you and letting us be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. To God. Glory to God. I'm already glad I came tonight. How about you?
Yes.
I'm so pleased to be with you. You and I to be fellowshipping together, and all of us together in His presence. Turn in your Bibles again this evening to Scripture we looked at last night in the Psalms. Psalm 33. Before I get into this, because I might not remember it, we did bring materials. They're out in the front, and you're welcome to receive like one item per person or per couple. No charge, won't cost you anything. Because of the Lord's goodness and because of all our word sender partners. We got word senders in here? Let me see. Okay, that's what I thought. Have you heard about what Brother John is talking about, the Word Production Center? Oh, man. The Lord's about to take us to a whole other level in this. And of sending anointed messages to people anywhere in the world and it not cost them anything. And so believe with us on that, and we'll have information on the internet if you want to check it out and keep track of it. We started 7 years ago sowing our messages or downloads or CDs or DVDs or music, everything, postage paid, everything at no cost. And it was a real step of faith. As you might imagine, the guys that are producing them and shipping them told me a couple of months into it, they said, Brother Keith, boy, business sure picked up after you changed the price. And it did, man. But you know, it is amazing how the Lord has provided for this thing. I told the guys, I said, now, we're not going to go in debt on this. If we don't have the money to do it, we'll just wait until we have it, and then we'll produce them and ship them. And so if that is the case, we'll just shut down production for ever how long it takes till we can do it again. And that was 7 years ago, and we've not stopped one day, not even half a day. Because the Lord is faithful. To me, it's like manna falling out of the sky. You don't know what you're going to need week to week because you don't know who's going to want what or order what or download what. And yet, if you've seen any of our online services or anything like that, then you see that we let everybody know how much came in versus how much we spent that week. And it is almost one-to-one all the time, every week. How does that work out? To me, it's like manna falling out of the sky. It's just what you need all the time. And the Lord has dealt with us that these millions of messages that we've sown over the past 7 years, He spoke to my heart. He said, every one of those is a seed. And you and your partners are to believe me for a harvest off of all those millions of seeds sown so that you can sow now on a level 1,000 times greater. And, of course, that stretches our faith some, doesn't it? But is He big enough to do that? And so that's what we're claiming, and that's what we're believing. How many think more word in more people's hands and ears has got to be a good thing, right? No. Everybody ought to know at least what the Lord has shown us, right? Everybody ought to be experiencing the freedom and blessing at least to the level that we've found. So thank you, everybody that's part of that. And I know many of you are. And y'all have sown to us numerous ways. And we're just thrilled to have some seed in the ground on your wonderful project that's going here. That means Faith Life Church, Branson, and our partners, we got a piece of every service y'all have. Man, I mean, everything that goes on in that place, that's wonderful, isn't it? So we're all hooked together. Are you excited about your new place? How many believe the glory of God can come fill that place? And many people come and get saved and healed and blessed and delivered. And I believe the things that are happening this week in these meetings are preparatory for that. And the Lord is adding to us the things that we'll need to take those next steps. A supply of the Spirit and an increase. Somebody say increase.
Increase.
In Psalm 33, Psalm 33 and verse 6, we looked at this last night. I want us to continue. It said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Do you believe it? That's quite something to believe. You looked up into the night sky? How many in here believe this verse? That all the hosts of heaven, all the stars, all the planets around them, we can't see but just a small portion of it. Did God make all that? Is He real? And the Bible said in verse 7, He gathers the waters of the sea together as an heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Glory to God. He spoke and it was done. The Bible tells us, the psalmist also says in another place that the heavens declare the glory of God. Every day and every night, they're speaking. The creation of God, Romans tells us, that even His mighty power and the Godhead are revealed in the things that God has made. You hear foolish people that think they're so smart saying, you know, there's no evidence of God. There's no evidence of the existence of God. How about there's nothing but evidence? Everything that exists is evidence that He's real and that He's amazing. Even in its fallen state, this earth is full of His taste and His glory. Even in its cursed, fallen state, this thing's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. It's magnificent. And it's messed up. People talk about, you know, saving the earth. Do you believe in global warming, Brother Keith? Actually, I believe in global melting. I believe in hotter than that. No, this earth is not going to perish as long as we need it. And no, it's a bunch of junk that this earth does not have the resources to sustain the inhabitants. This earth's resources are barely being tapped. Don't you believe these things? But no, this planet cannot be saved. Just like your body, it's aging. And the Bible said it's groaning and travailing. All of the earthquakes and tsunamis and all of the stuff are showing that the planet is dying. And the Bible says very clearly that something's going to happen to our sun. Not maybe. It is. Something's going to happen to our sun and it's going to turn black. How many think that the sun turning black would be a bad thing? And when it does, now this is not conjecture, this is not fairy tale, this is written in the Scriptures. Something's going to happen with our sun, and then the elements of the planet are going to melt with fervent heat. There's going to be so much heat that the elements of the planet, the atmosphere is going to be gone,
and the elements of the planet itself are going to melt. Not to fear, because you and I are going to be out of here. The people of God are going to experience new heaven and new earth where there's no more curse.
Amen.
No more curse. No more too hot. No more too cold. No more wild animals or crazy people. The lion lay down with the lamb. You can run through the jungle barefoot and never catch a thorn or a briar. The Bible said we should, all the inhabitants of the earth should stand in awe of such a God, such a creator. And I want us to look at some things. Go with me, if you would, to in the New Testament, to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're believing God together this evening, right? We can touch the glory of God with our spirit on this side, in this world, in this life, now. We can't experience the fullness of it. It's too much for this body. But we can touch it with our spirit, and we can actually taste the powers of the world to come in this life, in the here and now. We see the disciples experiencing this with Jesus. In 2 Peter, the first chapter and the 16th verse, 2 Peter 1:16, he says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, fairy tales, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter is saying he and some others were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He's talking about when He was in the body, in this life. Verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard." He said, "I heard it. And the other men with me heard it. When we were with Him in the holy mount." He's describing what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John went up with the Master. And they heard the voice, and they saw the glory in their bodies in this life, and lived to tell about it. Some folks think you shouldn't talk about these things, that, you know, that's not really for us in this life now. Heaven and the glory of God and the power of God and these amazing, spectacular manifestations of the glory of God. But you know, if the Lord hadn't wanted us to know about it and think about it, He wouldn't have told us about it. Of all the things, He could have very easily just said, you know, John, for instance, in the book of Revelation, when God was revealing some things to him and showing him some things, some of them He told him, "Do not write that down." Didn't He? Don't record that. So we don't know what he saw. The Lord said, don't tell him about that. But the fact that He specifically had these things that are in this Bible recorded for us means He wants us to know about it. He wants us to think about it and be mindful of it. And if we are, it changes how we see things. One of the biggest keys to being spiritual is where your mind is at. Your thinking. Did you know you can go places by thinking? Oh, sure. You can read a book. You can watch a movie. And you're not there. And yet you are. Because you are in your mind. Right? That's touching on something that we'll find more about later. And Romans 8 says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Whatever you set your mind on, you open up your heart to and you connect your spirit to it. That's why the Scripture tells us to set our mind and our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. To set our mind. The Bible tells us specifically what kind of things to think on. Things that are true and honest and just and pure and loving. What did He say? Think on these things. The Bible didn't tell us to be mindless and just let our mind wander and think on just anything and everything. This is one of the biggest problems in the church is undisciplined minds. Folks have thought, well, as long as I don't do it. No. Jesus talked about different things where if you let your mind go there, then in essence, you did it. Talking about lust and adultery. You remember some of those things. No, it matters what we let ourselves think on. Whatever you put your mind on and keep your mind on, you open your spirit to. And it is possible for your spirit to actually contact things. This is certainly true with God. Do you believe we can set our mind on Him and put our hearts toward Him and we can worship Him and we can praise Him and it's possible to touch Him, touch His presence, touch Him with our spirit and let Him touch us? Go with me to the book of Luke, please. The 9th chapter. I'm excited about the subject we're on. Why would the Lord have us on it? He has a purpose in everything He does. If we're really being led in these meetings, and the Lord's utterance is really in this vein, and He's speaking to our hearts, for what reason? Nothing is just to make a few notes and go, that's interesting. No, it's always about taking us there. Bringing us up from where we are to another place. Not just talking about it, but experiencing it. Knowing Him. Involves experiencing Him. In Luke, the 9th chapter, we see Luke's account of what Peter's talking about. In Luke chapter 9, the Scripture tells down about verse 28 or so. It says, it came to pass about 8 days after those sayings that Jesus took Peter and John and James and He went up into a mountain to pray. Now, remember what Peter said? We didn't share with you cunningly devised fables. Is everybody awake? We have to watch. Having heard some of these things so many times, it can be like just a story that you heard. Like a movie or a fairy tale. This happened. Everybody say it out loud. This happened. This is real. What happened? Jesus took Peter, James, and John and James, and He went up the mountain. They would have had to exert effort. They would have sweated climbing up the side of the mountain. They'd have felt like you and I in our bodies. This is real. Maybe they're a little hungry. Maybe they're a little tired. I don't know. But when they went up there to pray, something happened. Verse 29. As Jesus prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered. His appearance changed. He no longer looked like He did. When you looked at His face, He didn't look like He did every other time you've seen Him until now. And His raiment, His clothes, was white and glistering. Now that's King James. When's the last time you used the word glistering in a sentence? That's what I thought. The NIV says it like this. The NIV says, as He was praying, the appearance of His face changed, and His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. His garment was white and sparkling. Mark's account says it was dazzling white, whiter than anybody in the world could bleach it. This was not an earthly white. It was beyond any white they had ever seen. It looked like a flash of lightning. They saw it in their bodies, just like you and me. They heard these things. And Peter's talking about it later. Stuck with him, obviously. Right? He said, we saw it. We saw the glory of God. And we heard the voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Hear Him. These kind of things happen on this side. On this side. Somebody say, on this side. Peter, James, and John were just like you and me. They didn't know everything. Are you kidding? They had some goofy ideas. Remember Peter's first response? Let's build some tabernacles. Jesus hadn't said anything about tabernacles. Nobody said anything about tabernacles, but you know, a lot of folks when they don't know what to say, they just say whatever pops in their mind. How many know when you don't know what to say, it's a good time to be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. And stand in awe. Right? Be still and know that He is God. You'll see a lot of times in churches and services, the Spirit of God really start moving. And a lot of times people don't know what to do. So they'll do something they shouldn't do. Somebody will jump up and start trying to say something or do something because they just don't know what to do. They sense the glory of God and they just want to... Some folks will scream, some folks will do this. And a lot of it, you know, the Lord's not telling them to do it. They just don't know what to do with themselves. Let me give you some advice. When you don't know what to do with yourself, be quiet. And be still. And if it's appropriate to say something, this is always appropriate. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You can't go wrong with that. But don't start new tabernacle projects and... and just launch into something because you're uncomfortable and don't know what to say and do. No. They saw the glory of God manifested on the earth. They saw Jesus didn't look like Himself. Like the Jesus they had known the past couple of years or so. His whole countenance changed. And something happened to His clothes. It was brighter than the sun shining on snow. It was glistening. It was dazzling. It was amazing. And they saw it. Others have seen the glory of God. Several. From the Old Testament up through the New. And is it good for us to think about these things? Should we put our mind on these things? Our faith would not struggle like it has in the past if we had really had a glimpse of how big God is and how powerful He is. You got people, good church-going folks, that are struggling and going, you know, I just don't know if God would heal me or if God, you know, is He interested? Could He pay a bill or something like that? I mean, I just don't know. These are people, maybe they are born again, but they just don't know Him very well. They can you look at Jesus at being scourged, having all our sicknesses and all our diseases laid on Him, and you look at Him going, do you want me healed? Really? Are you sure? That's ignorance. I said, that's ignorance. Isn't it? The Bible said He became poor for our sakes. I mean, they took His very clothes away from Him at the end. He's the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. He didn't have to go through this. He wasn't going through it for Himself. I said, Lord, do you want my needs met? You want me and my babies clothed and food on our table? Are you sure? That's ignorance. That's folks that have not seen Him and don't know Him. If you read the first epistle of John, he keeps talking about people that don't know Him. He's not necessarily talking about somebody that's not been born again. You can be born again and have met Him, but you really don't know Him. Your mind's still unrenewed. So you, even though you're born again, you pretty much think like an unbeliever. How many believe it would help your faith to get a greater revelation of Him and how awesome He is and how amazing He is and how glorious He is? Go with me to Hebrews. Y'all got time tonight because I'm not in a rush. You know when you find out you're going to live forever? You kind of relax. Hebrews chapter 4. Boy, y'all are a good bunch. I like preaching to you. Y'all are just easy to minister to. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The Lord our high priest works with what comes out of our mouth. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You can never say nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what it's like. You can never say that truthfully. Verse 16, let us therefore, in light of those great truths and realities, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come where? Come where? Can you and I come to the throne of grace? Now. Can we? What does this mean? If we can't, what does this mean? It obviously means what it says. Can we come there by faith in spirit? We can. This is real. I said, this is real. Amen. Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, if you got grace, you got it. Grace is one of the biggest words in the Bible. Some say, what is grace? Some say, well, it's unmerited favor. Well, I think that's true, but that is such a how can I say it? The grace of God is the favor of God. It is the mercy of God. It's also the power of God. It's the ability of God. It's God giving you opportunities. It's Him giving you audience. It's Him giving you a supply of the Spirit. Grace, there's grace for the natural material side of life. He is the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies. There are graces for every area of life. And when you got the grace for it, even though it hadn't transpired yet, you got it. And where do you get this? Amazing grace. You get it from your amazing Father at the amazing throne of grace. When you need something, you don't have to call any hotline. You don't have to call a preacher. You don't have to call mom and them or sis or your best bud. When you need something, you don't have to try to find somebody that's real spiritual and knows God real good, kind of has an in with God. Get them to pray for you. In the Old Testament, it was different. You would have to go to a man of God or a woman of God and ask them to inquire of the Lord for you. But not anymore. That's why our covenant's better than theirs. Right? He said, in that day they'll not tell every man his neighbor, know the Lord, because they'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. And there is just one God and just one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You only got to go through one person to come to the throne. One. 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 The Master. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And by His name and by faith in Him and by His righteousness, not in your own, but in His righteousness, being made holy with His holiness, being made acceptable by His name and His sacrifice, you can, and I can, come not with head held down, not groveling and begging. We can come boldly, not arrogantly, and yet boldly. Into where? To where? To where? To the throne of grace. The throne of grace is a very real place. Several have seen it in this life before they went on. And it's been recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures. I want us to listen to what they said this throne is like. I want us to believe every word of it and let the Spirit of God through these words transport us and put our mind on it and open our spirit to it. Is that okay with you? One of the first accounts I know of is Moses and Aaron. And 70 of the elders of Israel saw it. Go back with me to Exodus, I believe it is. Exodus 24. Whoo, I said something already. Exodus 24 and 9. God had called them to come meet Him. And so Moses and Aaron, verse 9, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel. Somebody say they saw Him. Now, I don't think they saw His face, because later he told Moses that nobody could see His face and live when he asked Him to show Him His glory. But they saw his form. And it describes some of what they saw. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. What color is sapphire? Blue. It was, as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. Well, the sky is blue. And it looked like it was a pavement under his feet, a paved work, let's say it right. And it looked like the clear blue sky. Somebody say, glory to God. Verse 15, Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. The scripture says our God is a consuming fire. When Moses met him, that bush was burning in fire. And yet the bush did not burn up. And that's what got his attention. That he'd never seen anything like that before. And when he came over to look at it, you can see this fire is just burning, 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 but the leaves are still green on that bush. It's not hurting it. How about a fire that won't burn you up? A fire that won't hurt you? How about being in a fire that didn't destroy you? But it was just glory. And then the cloud of it. And he heard the voice said, take off your shoes. The place where you're standing is holy. Holy ground. Why? Because the glory of God, it wasn't the ground that made it holy. It was the glory that was on that spot that made it holy. We are children of glory. We are receivers of the Spirit of glory. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Spirit of glory. Scripture said that He was raised from the dead by the glory. What came into that tomb on the third day? Jesus' body laying there, cold. The glory of God came in that place. Oh, hallelujah. The glory of God came in that place. And His body was raised up. The glory of God's going to come on our body one day. Same glory that raised Him from the dead, same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is going to quicken us, and this mortal is going to become immortal. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. The corruptible is going to become incorruptible. Our bodies will never again be subject to any aging or any disease or any weakness or any pain. True or not? True. True. They saw the glory of God. Later on, many years later, Ezekiel saw the glory of God. And he went into quite a bit of description about it. He must have seen it very well and for quite a while. And if the Lord hadn't wanted us to know this, He'd have never had this recorded. He wants us to know this. He wants us to be aware of this. It'll change us. In just a few days, you are now going to be standing at the throne. If we live another 75 years down here, it'll pass so quick. Won't it? Anybody in here middle-aged? How'd the last 50 years go? I mean, it just... huh? What do you think the next 50 is going to do? I mean, or 75, or if you're a young person, 100, if you live another 100 years. I'm telling you. The Bible said it's like a vapor. Now you see it, now you don't. This is the shortest thing we will ever do. It's the briefest thing. I know it's all we've known, but it's just because we're such preemie babies. We're just barely getting started in this thing. But we can get a glimpse of what we're about to see in this wonderful book. You want to see some more? Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the first chapter. Ezekiel 1. We'll start about verse 4. I'm going to read in the English Standard Version, the ESV. You read whatever you got. Ezekiel, first chapter. 1, verse 4. Ezekiel said, "As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. From the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands." They had wings, but they had hands under the wings. "And the four had their faces and their wings thus, and their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went." Because they got four faces, they never have to turn. Why do we turn left? Because we ain't got a face over here. We got to turn over here and look. Is this real? This is real. You'll see as we keep going, he describes the same thing Moses and those guys saw. Later on, John in Revelation, he describes the same thing he's describing here. Daniel describes the same thing. This is how the throne has always been and how it will always be. Now, as we're talking about this, I want you to remember the scripture we just got through reading. Since we have a high priest in heaven who's a man, our brother, who represents us, who's given us His righteousness, is given us His access to this throne. That's why it says, therefore, because you got the high priest, because you got the, because He went to the Holy of Holies, He brought His own blood and purchased our redemption. He gave us His righteousness. He gave us His holiness. He gave us His blood. He gave us His life. He gave us His access to the Father. Elsewise, you and I could never come to the throne of grace. Too much impurity, too much sin, too much junk. We could never come. We'd be consumed before we got there. But in His name, in His name, in His righteousness, we can not only come, we can come like we belong there. We can come boldly. That's an amazing word. Boldly. To the throne of grace. This is what Elijah's seeing. If you've heard Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, who's
gone to be with the Lord now, describe one of his experiences, his visions that he had in the Lord. He heard a voice. Said, come up hither to the throne of God. And he did. He said he saw the bow. He said he saw those winged creatures. He said they're strange looking. He said they got eyes all the way around their head and they look every direction at once. He said he saw it. He saw them. And one of my favorite parts about that experience, he said at one point he turned and looked at the master. And for the first time, he really looked him in the face. He didn't look at the Father on the throne, but he looked at Jesus. And he said when he did, people asked him, what did he look like? He said, his eyes were the most standout feature that he remembered. He said he couldn't describe it adequately. He said, but they looked like wells of living love. He said, it looked like you could look down into a miles deep. Wells of living love. And he said, when he looked at the master, he was just overwhelmed. He was just overcome. And he just fell on his face with his feet, his hands by the master's feet. And he said, Lord, no one as unworthy as I should look on your face. And here's the thing that is just engraved in my heart from the first time I heard it. He said, the master said to him, stand up. Stand up on your feet. And he said, boy, he come up. Stood there trembling. How many think of the Lord, if the master tells you stand up, what do you think you're going to do? He said, he's standing there trembling. He said, the master looked at him and said, I have made you worthy to look on my face. Is it true?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Has he made us worthy? Able, accepted with His righteousness, His blood, His holiness. Nothing for us to brag about. He did it. It's His. But everything for us to enjoy and receive. Somebody said out loud, I can come boldly to the throne of grace. When can you do that, saints? We can do that now. We don't see it with our eyes. We don't touch it with our hand. One day we will. But we do it by faith. And we do it in spirit. Let's keep reading about where we're going when we're coming to the throne of grace. What is it like? The Lord wants us to know. He's given us, I know of at least 4 or 5 passages of Scripture in different places in the Bible where He described it for us so we'd know where we're coming. These winged creatures are there. They're astounding. They're like nothing we've ever seen before. And it said they each went straight forward wherever the Spirit would go, verse 12, they went without turning as they went. They don't turn. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. That's fast, isn't it? When they move, brother, they move like lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the 4 of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the 4 had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. And when they went in any of their 4 directions without turning as they went. And their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all 4 were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose.
Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The life, the power, were in those wheels. Now, Ezekiel is saying, it looked like this. It looked like this. He's never seen any machines like we've seen. He's never seen anything fly or move. And this is not some man-made something, but obviously the throne of God moves. It moves. Can move anywhere. Any direction. Verse 22. Over the heads of the living creatures there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering his body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. You know, on the day of Pentecost, what'd they hear? They heard a sound like a rushing mighty wind. They heard it. All of them in the room heard it. In their bodies, just like me and you. And they saw cloven tongues like as of fire, fire, fire. Didn't they? They saw fire. They looked up and there it was. There's this huge rushing sound. You can only compare it to what you've experienced. That's why, again and again, where the man of God, where it's Ezekiel or Moses or Daniel or John, they said it looked like this. It looked like this. You're trying to compare it to what you've seen down here. And fire was there. In this body, in this life, just like me and you. And that fire came closer and closer until it just sat down on the people. It didn't burn them up. It didn't hurt them. It filled them with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they come a tumbling out of that room, speaking in tongues, declaring the glories of God. This fire won't hurt the child of God. This fire will fill you with glory and power and light and life and joy. Our God is light. Our God is fire. Hallelujah. Not a fable. Not a fairy tale. Not science fiction. Not a movie. Reality. Keep reading. You and I need to know where we're going when we come to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Can you already accept in your mind, it's an awesome place, the throne of grace. It is an awesome place. Above the expanse, over their heads, now get the picture, there are these winged creatures. There are these wheels, for lack of a better word, it looked like that. And above it is a throne. In appearance like sapphire. What color is sapphire? Seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. Looked like a man. Upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw it was gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. What color is God? I've heard people foolishly say, you think God's white or God's black? Neither one. He's red. But not just red. Fire. Shades of amber and ruby and fire colors are described. That's what color is. From the appearance of his waist, I saw a gleaming metal like the appearance of fire. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, it was as the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. God is light. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So it was the appearance of brightness all around. He told, Noah. He was going to put his bow in the cloud. That's his personal bow around his throne. I was able to, a couple of years ago, I was flying in the airplane that the Lord gave us. I was going into a city and it had just been a bunch of rain and thunderstorms. And I saw a rainbow just as I was coming down getting ready to land. And I flew right through the center of it. I'd never seen anything like that before. And it was a complete circle. I'd only ever seen a rainbow standing on the ground. Well, it's got a bottom. I was amazed. You looked up, and it was all the way, and it just looked like it was so close. And you looked down, and it kept going all the way around. This bow is God's personal bow at His throne. And He's put a manifestation of it in the earth to remind us what He said to Noah. Never again will the earth be destroyed by water and floods. So all this nonsense about all the polar caps melting and all the stuff happening and the continents being deluged with water, never going to happen. Never. Never. Never going to happen. Like the appearance of the bow that's in the cloud on the day of rain, it was the appearance of brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. Somebody say, glory to God. This, he said, he keeps calling it the glory of God, that he saw the glory of God. The throne of glory as the throne of grace. Daniel saw it. Anybody want to hear what Daniel had to say about it? Yeah. Go on over to Daniel. Chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. How many know that there's coming a time when there's not going to be any other nation except kingdom of God? There's not going to be any European nations. There's not going to be any African nations. There's not going to be any U.S. of A. All the kingdoms and nations will have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It'll never fall. It'll never be splintered. It'll never grow old. It'll never come to an end throughout the endless ages. Verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Do you know who that is? That's your Father. That's your Father. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And says, well, that's white. I thought he was fire. You ever seen white hot fire? Things glow white. There's a lot of colors in fire. Now get this, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. One translation says a river of fire was flowing out, blasting out from his throne. Friends, what kind of power does it take to keep the core of the earth working, to keep the gravity working, to keep the planets in orbit, to keep all of the stars burning? What kind of power is that? It is beyond our imagination at this point. But the power of all of that is coming from the throne you and I get to come to. There is a river of fire blasting out of his throne. And all light and all power everywhere in the universe comes from there. All things are upheld by the word of his power. Other translations bring out the cohesiveness. We've learned a few things about atoms and about the small parts. And one of the amazing things that scientists are still struggling with is why they rotate, why they don't just scatter to the four winds. What is keeping them together? What's keeping me and you together on an atomic level? The Word of God is holding us together. The Word of God is holding the solar system together. It's holding the planet together. It's holding everything together. And the power of that is coming out of light himself. That's the throne you and I get to come to. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered to him. Thousands or millions. And 10,000 times 10,000, which is a whole lot more than that, stood before him, and the judgment was set and the books were opened. You're talking about seeing a sea of people. We're going to see masses of beings like we've never seen before in the coming days. Everybody that's ever been on the planet. Beings in heaven, beings on the earth, beings under the earth. They all have to answer to our Father, who sits on the throne we can come to. Somebody say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Can you take the rest of this? I don't know. It's getting pretty strong. It's going to take faith to believe the rest of this message. I believe I'm talking to the right bunch, though. Go to Revelation, then. Let's let John tell us what it's like. You're going to hear some familiar things, because the throne has not changed. Whether it was Moses seeing it, or Daniel, or Ezekiel. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the New Century, the NCV. Verse 1, he said, he looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the voice which I heard, same voice he said that spoke to him, sounded like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. Come up here, and I will show you. There's been a good number of people that have gone there and come back. Now that doesn't mean you believe every story that somebody tells. But it's true. the number of folks have gone and come back. And John saw it. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and before me was a throne in heaven, and someone was sitting on it. Now he said he was in the Spirit. How can you and I come to the throne? In the Spirit. Now that doesn't necessarily mean we see it like he did. He's having an open vision. And yet even though you don't see it, and there'll be some that the Lord will open their eyes and let them see things, but you could go all your lifetime and that not happen. It wouldn't mean you weren't spiritual. It just mean you didn't need that. And yet, you can touch what you can't see with your spirit by faith. Faith and the Spirit of God can transport you and let you touch and contact things that are not of this world. I was in the Spirit. Before me was a throne in heaven. Someone was sitting on it. Anybody know who that someone is? Who was sitting on the throne? I want everybody to say, My Father sits on the throne. My Father. The one who sat on the throne looked like precious stones, like jasper and carnelian. Now these are red hues. Red. The one, he looked like the precious stones. All around the throne was a rainbow the color of an emerald. Of course, that's deep green. I heard someone that had died and died two or three times, and the doctor struggled with them, finally got them back, and they said they left and they went to heaven. They said they saw it. And they didn't describe all this, but what part they said, they were struck by the colors. They said they had never seen colors like that in down here. They said it was just like somebody took masking tape off of your eyes and you could see colors and hues that you had never seen before. And music. Actually, this guy described, he died in a plane crash. And he described that he went. And one of the things I'd never heard anybody say before, he said the music was just, he said he couldn't describe it. But you did. He said you didn't just hear the music, you felt the music on the inside. You were part of the music inside. And he said this. He said the music changed, and when it changed, he said what the people were doing changed. He said the music changed, and some of the people stopped this and they started going over to here, and by the time the song was through, they were at a place for something else to start. Interesting. It said, around the throne there were 24 other thrones with 24 elders sitting on them. And you and I get to come up in the middle of that? Huh? See, we got to get a revelation of this, saints, because you hear people praying. And you can tell by the way they're praying, they don't know who they are, and they don't know where they're at. You wouldn't come to the president's office, throw yourself on his desk and go, "Oh, Mr. President, Mr. President, Mr. President, oh, Mr. President," and do that for an hour. And him say, "What? What?" And you go, "Mr. President, oh, Mr. President, oh, Mr. President, oh, Mr. President." He says, "What? What? Oh, Mr. President, Mr. President, Mr. President." You wouldn't do that in the Oval Office. And it does not even begin to compare to the throne of glory. People say they're supposed to be coming into before the throne of God and they're rebuking and binding everything. And you want to say, hey, man, put your blade up. You're in the throne room. Put your blade. There ain't no demons in here. Holster your pistol, man. This is the throne room. You got whole groups of Christians talking about bombarding the gates. Apparently they imagine themselves out at the gates. Screaming and hollering and wailing. See, these are folks who don't know who they are. They don't know who God is. They don't know what they have. I'm not saying they're not saved. You can be saved and be completely ignorant. And I'm not claiming I know a whole lot. Just barely. But how many believe the Lord will help us to quit being so ignorant and right? Quit just being religious and goofy and realize who we are and what we're doing. Amen. And when we come by faith in the name of Jesus, where are we coming? And if the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, if He would hear us, how should we conduct ourselves? How should we talk to Him? How should we speak to Him? Do you have to scream it 50 times for Him to get it? Is He hard of hearing? Is He slow of comprehension? No. Do you have to just really impress upon Him how you feel about it? And what you... You need to remember, when you come to the throne of God to talk to Him, you have never informed Him of anything yet. Never. And you never will. You never come in and go, oh God, I just found out. I got to have $1,000 by tomorrow. And He goes, what? What? Gabriel, Michael, why didn't you tell me about this? Never. Never. You can't surprise Him. The Bible says He knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And He already knows about the supply and the answer, doesn't He? And yet He still tells you to ask Him. Because that's the way He has set it up and that's the way faith operates. And even though you have right and access, the Bible says you have not. Why? Because you don't ask. You got to ask, and you got to ask not wavering, but ask in faith. Do you think you'd change the way we pray and operate if we were more aware of what's really happening?
Yes.
The further I go, especially these last few years, I'm getting an increasing revelation that there is so much junk done in the name of Christianity. Traditions that people have been doing. I know some of them have been doing for generations, but it was wrong when it started 10 generations ago. Just because it's been handed down doesn't make it any better. I'm hungry for the reality of God.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
Not a bunch of religious junk that doesn't work. That just wears us out. Takes up our time, energies, and resources. God is real. I said He's real. He's not imaginary. He's real. There's a lot of people have imagined God in their own image. They make Him like they are. They figure, well, me and God, yeah, we're just like, He pretty much thinks like I do. We think this, we're on the same. Uh-huh. He's real. And He's not just anything that anybody imagines Him to be. He is what He is. not what somebody makes up about him. And I believe just us talking about this puts us taking steps in the right direction. Do you? Because remember, what you put your mind on, you open your spirit up to. And you allow it to contact you, and you allow your spirit to contact it, in this case, him. Keep reading. Around the throne, there were these 24 other thrones. They were dressed in white. They had golden crowns on their heads. Lightning flashes and noises and thundering came from the throne. Is it an awesome place? Oh. Brother Jesse Duplantis shares an experience he had. Anybody heard him talking about his years ago in a hotel room, how God took him out? He saw heaven. He said an angel escorted him. And they were headed toward the throne the whole time, but a time transpired, and he showed him several things on the way there. But he said the closer he got, the weaker he got. He could hardly stand. And he said the angel gave him fruit and said, "Eat this." It was copper colored. And he said when he would eat it, it would strengthen him. But he said the closer he got to the throne, the power coming out of that place, he said, and everything there ascends toward the throne. He said there's the city, and he said there's paradise, which is not the city. It's like a huge park type thing. And people were doing things. He said he met a family going on a picnic and asked him, did he want to come? He didn't know him. He thanked them. The angel said, you have an appointment. And they kept moving. He said, when they finally got to the throne, he said he couldn't even raise his head. He was knelt down, he was slumped down, and the angel gave him some more of that fruit. He said he just, it was so powerful. And he said, among other things, he said Jesus came out and preached. Preached. Not teach. He said preached. He said he came out and he started to say, I'm going back. And I'm going to get your kids. And I'm going to get your grandkids. And I'm going to get your family. And I'm going to bring them here with us. He said that place came alive. He said they shouted. He said it roared throughout the midst. Is he coming back?
Yeah.
Over the whole vision, Brother Jesse said that was the main thing the Lord told him. He said, the purpose of this, I want you to go tell my people I'm coming and I'm coming soon. And he said he thought this is the main reason. He thought that, and he thought, well, Lord, they know that. He said, no, they don't know it. You tell them. Is it real enough to us that he's coming? Apparently not. But he said he was slumped down there and looking up, and he said he saw the Father. He didn't see his face, but he saw kind of from his bottom part down, and he said he saw the Master. And he said Jesus and the Father are one. He said he never thought about it before. He said he'd see Jesus go into the Father and come back out. And he said they're so close. He said it's like they don't want to be apart from each other. And he said he was slumped over there, and he said, he asked the angel, he said, where's the Holy Spirit? He said, the angel said, he's in the earth. Jesse said, I knew that. I knew that. He said he saw the Father's form, the lower part, sitting on the throne. And he said these angels were flying around. Flying. He said the power, he tried to describe it. He said it was just like this, whoom, whoom, whoom. Just indescribable power coming out. And he said these angels were flying around saying, holy, holy. And he said he saw the Father's little finger move a little bit. And one of the angels that came by was just slammed up against the side there. Because he got a little close to that. Do you believe the throne of God is a place hard to describe, a place? What kind of words can we use? Astounding? Amazing? We won't say incredible because that means not credible. It is credible. We won't say unbelievable because we believe. Right? But it is amazing. Glorious. Wonderful. Marvelous. Amazing. Somebody say amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. When we sing about amazing grace, I think that's a good thing to say, don't you? It's true. Keep reading. Verse 5. Again, lightning flashes and noises and thundering came from the throne. Before the throne, seven lamps were burning, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was something that looked like a sea of glass, clear like crystal. That's what Moses and the elders saw. That's what Ezekiel talks about. Sea of glass, clear like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living creatures with eyes all over them, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of these four living creatures had six wings and was covered all over with eyes inside and out. They obviously look in every direction at once. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." One of these days soon, we're going to hear that. We're going to see it for ourselves. You ought to get warmed up down here now. What do you think? So it won't be such a shock to your system when you get there. Everybody said out loud, holy,
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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Who are they talking about? Who are they talking about? Your Father. My Father. When Jesus was raised from the dead, one of the first things he told some of the first ones that saw him, he said, "You go back and tell the disciples, I'm ascending to my God and your God. I'm going to my Father and your Father." He's given us his access. The place of sonship. We're not just servants. We're sons. Glory to God. Jesus prayed. He said that they may know that you love them even as you love me. Is it true?
Yes.
Is it true that the Father loves us
yes.
like He loves Jesus?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
It takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? You can't go by how you feel. You can't go by how you look. You can't go by how you've acted. It's not based on what we've done or haven't done. It's based on what the Master has done.
Amen.
Completely based on what He has done. But I receive it. How about you?
Yeah.
I receive it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody said out loud, I receive,
the cleansing of the blood.
I receive His very own righteousness as mine. I receive His holiness. I receive being accepted in the beloved.
I do have a place.
And I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Come on, just lift your hands for a moment and say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father." Close your eyes. Let these words and images sink down into your spirit. Oh, Father, we worship you. You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. Reveal to us, Father, more of this. Let us see reality, not religious junk, not be muddled up with stuff that's not even right and not even true. Thank you, Lord, for letting us to see how you really are, what you really are, who you really are, what our place in you really is. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. 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 There's no distance when it comes to spiritual things like this. We can set our mind there. We can set our heart there. And by faith, we can be connected just like that. In touch with Him. Him in touch with us. Keep reading. Day and night, verse 8 says, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't think they even try to say this. I think He's so holy, you just get around Him and it just pops out of you. He is completely pure and perfect. Somebody say holy.
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 They said, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, far as you can ever look back, He's there. Who is? He is the great I Am. And who is to come, as far as you can ever look into eternity future, He's there. I said, He's there. These living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And then the 24 elders bow down before the one who sits on the throne. And they worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they put their crowns down before the throne and they say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power because you've made all things. Everything existed and was made because you wanted it. Everything that's been made, you made it. There wouldn't be an earth, there wouldn't be a sun, there wouldn't be a human being, there wouldn't be a brain, there wouldn't be a thought to think in it. But there was first a God. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but they're fools. Soon and very soon, they'll breathe their last and they'll find out. Right? There's no such thing as agnostics and atheists past this life. But the Lord has set it up this way so that you can choose not to believe in Him if you want to. It has to be your choice. He's not going to make any human being love Him or believe in Him or revere Him. That's the devil's way to force people and try to control people. God's not that way. But how many think we ought to love Him with everything that's in us? All our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. How many think we ought to be in awe of Him? We ought to adore Him. We ought to revere Him and be in awe of His power and His glory. They say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Because you made all things. Everything existed and was made. Because you wanted it. It was your will. God had so much before you and I came along. He was God without us. But how many know you can have everything, but if you don't have family to share it with, He wanted family. He wanted you. He knew you before you were born. You're not an insignificant speck among billions of people. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. Never before created, never will be there another just like you. Never. You are a one of a kind. Masterpiece. I know we don't look like what we shall be. We're surrounded by all our flaws and our ignorance. But I'm telling you, you've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And inside, you are made in the image and likeness of this Almighty One who sits on the throne. And one of these days, soon and very soon, it's going to be revealed who you are and who I am. And we're going to come into what we've been predestined and called to be. Transformed. Made into His perfect likeness and image. It's our call. It's our destiny. Can you hear it? It's calling you right now. It's calling you across the reaches of space from the throne of God. Come. Be what I've made you to be. We're going to be with Him. The tabernacle of God is going to be with men. We're going to be with Him forever and ever. We're going to be somewhere around this amazing throne. Now, you're in chapter 4, is it? Back up to chapter 3. And you got your faith limbered up now, right? You ready to believe something amazing, amazing, amazing? Hallelujah. Man, as we talk about these things, it pulls on me. All gravity comes from God. Everything that's holding the planets in place. When He comes and the trumpet sounds, we're not going to need a jetpack to get out of here. We will go to Him like metal to a magnet. We will fly out of here. There won't be anything holding us back anymore. Nothing to hold us down. Nothing to hold us here. And I want you to listen to what your big brother said. How many in here love Jesus? You know, this is the acid test of true Christianity. You can know all kind of stuff. You can quote all kind of scriptures. You can claim to be this and that moral. But if you know the Lord, you love Him. You love Him. You don't just know stuff about Him. You don't just believe in Him mechanically and intellectually. You love Him. Anybody in this place love Jesus? Come on, I want to. You are not ashamed of it. You don't care who sees it or who knows about it. Because if they don't love Him, they're the ones in trouble. Right? They should. I love Him. I'm looking forward to getting a hug. How many think you ain't been hugged until the Alpha and Omega hugs you? Woo! He's love itself. He'll never leave you. I asked the Master some years ago, there were some things happening to some people that was just terrible. And my heart went out to them. It touched me. It grieved me. And in the midst of it, I said, Lord, the love I have in me comes from You. And I know nobody ever cared or was touched or loved beyond You. How do You tolerate this? This pain. This injustice. These awful things that are happening. How do You tolerate that? He answered me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me. He said, Son, it's very brief. Very brief. That's how He tolerates it. Because no matter how terrible it is to Him, in just a little bit, you're with Him. The Bible said to him, 1,000 years is like yesterday. Well, then if you compare that to a 24-hour period, then that means if we lived 100 years down here, that's a tenth of that. That'd be like 2 hours God time. So if you've already lived 50 years, you got about an hour left. From his perspective. How does he tolerate it? To him, it is very brief. It's just, it'll be over just like that. And then you'll be with him. Never to hurt again. Never. How many believe the revelation when it says, no more crying?
Yes.
No more pain. No more dying. No more. No more. Can we make it?
Yes.
Another half hour. Another 45 minutes. Can we make it? By the grace of God,
yes.
We can. And then we're out of here. One way or the other. Either we finish our life and we're out of here, or the trumpet sounds and we're out of here. Don't leave early. Life is precious. And you got a job to do. Whether you've been doing it fully or not, you got a job to do. Find out what it is. Get to it. Do it. Don't be robbed of it. You live a long life. It'll be over soon. Don't try to rush it. But in the meantime, you can come to the throne every day by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith all those centuries ago. And even prior to the covenant we have, by faith, he kept doing it until God got so real to him. And he got so close to God. I guess he looked up one day and God said, you're closer to my house than you are yours. You just come on with me. No need you going back today. He did that by faith. Right? He walked with God by faith. Revelation 3 and 20. Our Master said this. Our Jesus said this. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not going to knock the door down. He's not going to force himself in. He's not going to make anybody receive him. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Who's got to open the door? We have to. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. The joy of relationship is full fellowship. Read the next verse. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. This is no groveling outside the gates. This is no bombarding the gates. This is no crawling on your stomach just inside the door. What did he say? How many believe Jesus is ascended up on high? And he is set down at the right hand of majesty. In the throne of the Almighty, Creator of heavens and earth. You believe it? What were we singing in the beginning of the service? Look in Ephesians. I don't want you to think we made any of this up. In Ephesians, second chapter, Ephesians 2, Verse 1, you has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. How many can agree? We were in a mess. Huh? Awful. Terrible. Lost. 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 But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now this is before you were born. Before I was born. He knew us. He loved us. And He paid the price for us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. How many will say, by grace I am saved? I'm no longer dead in my spirit. I've been quickened. I've been made alive. I've been born again. Is that true?
Amen.
Then the rest of this is true too. And He has raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus say, the one that overcomes, I'm going to let Him sit with me in my throne? That boggles the mind. Like I'm set down with my Father in His throne. When He says we're going to rule and reign, He means it. We're going to have a place in His throne. The devil hates that. Oh, religious people hate it too. Do you believe the Bible or not?
Yes.
You don't have to understand it to believe it. You know you're not worthy of yourself of any of it. But we should have already got that settled a long time ago. Right? He's made me worthy. I never could be. But He made us. He made me worthy. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come... This is talking about a lot further than next week or next month or next 10 years. In the ages to come, what are you and I going to be doing? He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace you're saved. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It starts now. God has an amazing plan that involves encountering His will, His purposes, His glory, His reward, being used of Him, bearing fruit, and fruit that remains. It starts now. We are to find His will and follow His Spirit and wind up in glorious places. Yeah, there'll be trials and tests, but there's glory when you overcome them and when you get that victory and when you receive that anyway. And you keep following Him, you'll wind up connected with people and in places and in situations where you will experience tastes of the glory of God to come. You will experience tastes of the powers of the world to come. And then when you leave here, and when I leave here, throughout the ages to come, it's never going to stop. God's never going to peak. God's never going to max out. Even after millions of years and eternity to come, never going to come a time when God says, that's it. That's everything. Not the one who's fire sitting on the throne. Mm-mm. 1,000,000 years from now, you and I won't be here. And all the trials and travails of the earth will be long forgotten. Happy, whew, developing, what will we be? Who will we be? Busy doing what He wants us to do? And He'll be revealing Himself to us and He'll say, guys, you enjoying this? We'll go, oh God. Oh God. This is beyond. He says, you like this? We go, oh God. He says, look at this. Look at this. And he'll unfold and unveil something. And we'll all go, all the millions of us will go, ooh. Ah. Wow. We'll do that for a few centuries. And when you think there's no way, no way, no way it could ever be any better than that, he'll say, you guys like this? We'll go, oh, God. Oh, God. He'll say, look at this. Look at this. And he'll unfold. And anybody know? Help me out now. We'll all go, ooh. Ah. Wow. This is going to happen. How long? How long? How long? Throughout the ages to come. God's never going to peak. He's never going to max out. He's the Almighty. Being mindful of this, being aware of this, not just tonight while we're in church, but if you could remember this tomorrow. If you could remember this in the middle of the day. At work. When somebody's acting like a heathen. Maybe because they are a heathen. I'm saying, if you could remember this. If your mind could touch it. And your spirit could touch it. And you realize, man, I'm just here for a few more clicks. No need in me messing up my witness and acting like a heathen too. That's right. If we could stay, like the Bible said, set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Did He tell us to do that?
Yes.
Go to Colossians. Some folks looking at me funny. Go to Colossians. You people say, well, you know, I think all these goofy Christians, they're so heavenly minded, they're not any earthly good. There is no such thing. There's such a thing as being goofy minded. Making up stuff. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are we?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
Said out loud, we need mind renewal in this area. Said out loud, I have been.
Been.
Quickened together.
Together.
With Christ.
With Christ.
I have been.
Raised up together.
With Him.
And seated with Him.
In heavenly places.
In Christ.
It's a fact. If then you be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above, and He's very specific, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. You're supposed to be seeking that direction. Because that's where you're headed. Keep reading verse 2. Set your affection, the margin says mind, your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Somewhere and other people have thought, you know, you shouldn't think about heaven. You shouldn't think, because we got to live in this old dirty planet right now. And we just, you know, you got to stay grounded and stay focused and stay you know, in the muck and mud with everybody else. Mm-mm. Even though your feet are here, your mind can be there. And if your mind's there, your spirit can touch it. While your hands are touching something else down here. Do you believe it, saints?
Yes.
It'll give us a different perspective. It'll help us to be strong in the face of adversity. Because we're here, but we're not of this world. We're actually connected to something outside of here. There's something flowing from the throne into us and can come through us into this earth. You don't have to be a preacher to have the love of God and the reality of God and heaven in you and be at the right place at the right time and just share a word, a hand on a shoulder, and God the Almighty minister grace from the throne through you to them. Is it true that no matter what we need, anytime we need something, we can come boldly to the throne of grace? And not just come there just to be there, just to visit, just to observe. We can take something back with us. Saints, are y'all listening? We can take something back with us. Can we? I'm getting a few strange looks across the crowd. Hebrews. Go there. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may what? What? Obtain. What does obtain mean? It means you're going to get something. Right? You're going to get something you can keep. Get something you can take back with you. Next time it's time to pray, somebody says, where are you going? I'm going to the throne. Pick up some things. Might bring back something for you. How many know, no matter what it is you're in need of, it's all wrapped up in grace. Right? There's healing in grace. There's provision in grace. There's deliverance in grace. There's wisdom in grace. There's knowledge and understanding in grace. No matter what it is you need, what you want is grace. Right? And if you got enough grace, you can get through anything. With enough grace, you can overcome anything. With enough grace, you can receive anything. What did Jesus say? Paul, my grace, it is sufficient. That word doesn't quite come across in the King James. It doesn't mean barely get by. It means it is all you will ever need. It's all you will ever need. With enough grace, when you start feeling like, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't make it. Yeah, all you need is grace. With enough grace, you can do it. I don't know how, I've never done this before. All you need is grace. Grace can quicken you, you can pick up, you can learn it. Everything you know, there was a time when you didn't know it. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're not an old dog, you're a new creation. Right? And you can learn anything. You can receive any kind of enablement that God would add to you to bring you up to another place. Yes. There's a number of people in here right now. The Lord has some things for you to do. And when you first hear about it, you're going to go, oh, me? I never went to school for that. I've never had any experience in that. I quit doing all that. God is going to add grace to you. And just like that, you're going to begin to think, that's easy. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I could see me doing that. Yeah, as long as you argue with Him, you won't get the grace. But when you start agreeing with Him and telling Him, yeah, I'm willing. Lord, you got to help me. He already knew that. Lord, But I believe with your help I can. And as soon as that happens, grace will be added to you. Glory to God. It'll be added to you and you will be enabled. You will be empowered. Doors will open. Come on, are you listening to me? Opportunities will be given to you and you'll have the ability to go through. We come by faith in the name of Jesus to this awesome place called the throne of grace, the throne of glory. And our Father loves us. And like any father likes for his child to come see him. You don't just have to come only when you want to ask for something. Right? You can come by faith and worship him for 3 hours and don't have to ask for a thing. Just tell him how amazing you know that he is. Adore him. Is he worthy? Is he really that amazing? Oh, and more. Worship him. Praise him. Adore him. And when you do need something, don't hesitate to come boldly. He wants you to. He wants you to ask. He wants you to receive in faith. He wants you to have it. And you can leave from that place with something, having obtained grace that can help you in your time of need. Everybody stand on your feet, please. Singers and players, would you come? Let's do it right now. Let's come to the throne of grace by faith in the name of Jesus. Don't look around. Don't be thinking about other people. Don't be thinking about yourself. Lift up your heart. Lift up your hands. Oh, Father God, we come by faith to your amazing throne. We seek your face. We seek you. Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your voice, saints. Tell him whatever's in your heart. Dosh ne mangare go do uvine meshishia. Oh, sulevono marikrojin nafai de manga agjate. Your glory is so amazing and awesome, Lord. Your power is understand the covale, unspeakable. Adonji nevere got no more tar ni maritingia. Your wisdom is past searching out, O God. Your judgments are so perfect and so righteous. We believe in your goodness. Oh, we worship you. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. 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 We
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this. Hallelujah.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all the earth. Splendor, marvelous, in your working.
It again,
we exalt thee and we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh,
my Lord and my Lord,
I exalt.
Lord, we worship you. Thank you for your presence. Oh, you're so good.